Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you, James. I kept waiting for the movie clips like Friday night, but maybe that'll be next time. We are continuing this morning with our sermon series on becoming God's person. We've been focusing on this year as we think about our intentional discipleship. This morning we're thinking about becoming a value-based person as we listen to the words of Jesus as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount. So this morning I invite you to hear these words as Jesus continues teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Hear these words from Jesus. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning for us. In many ways, we could say this morning, this message is pretty much common sense. In some ways, we could summarize what Jesus is saying. In one way, we could say it this way. If you want something that is meaningful in life, then get something of value. In other words, maybe let's think about things we buy or purchase. We could maybe take part of what Jesus is saying and think of it this way. If we're going to purchase something, if we're going to get something for ourselves, then get something that's going to last. Get something of quality. Get something of value. We hear that message all the time in advertisements and in commercials. Get something of good quality. Avoid that which is cheaply made. Instead, get something of value. Buy things which are going to last. Get things in your life and focus your life on things that have value. Now, in order to make this point, Jesus gives three very vivid mental pictures for his listeners to think about. And interestingly enough, these three examples were great sources of wealth in Jesus' day. In other words, Jesus was using some practical examples of things that people valued in his time that he wanted to change their perspective on. Think about these three. First, he says, avoid things that moths can destroy. Now, in Jesus' part of the world, a person's wealth was often consisted of fine and elaborate clothing. It was easy to recognize a wealthy person in Jesus' day because of the clothes that he or she would wear. At this time and in this culture, many people often had one robe. They had one garment, one piece of clothing to wear, and they wore that piece of clothing until it wore out. But not a wealthy person. A wealthy person had many items of clothing, and he or she would wear different items of clothing every day. It was a symbol of wealth and prosperity. In Jesus' day, clothing was very important. In the scripture passage Robert read for us earlier, it's a strange story in 2 Kings, but I wanted him to read it because, in part, it tells the story of Gehazi, who is this servant who was so focused on the importance of clothing that he does something absolutely ridiculous. In fact, because of Naaman's leprosy and what happened with Naaman, Gehazi wants to make some forbidden profits from Naaman's leprosy. So Gehazi, the servant, asks Naaman, knowing that he has just been cleansed of his leprosy, knowing that he is in a good mood, he asks him for a talent of silver and two changes of garments, two items of clothing. It was a greedy, ridiculous request. Money and clothes. How could a person be so greedy after all that Naaman has just gone through? Well, because of his greed, seeking money and two sets of clothes, what we read in the scripture is that Gehazi actually, when it is discovered what he's done, receives the leprosy that Naaman himself had been cured of. In other words, God is saying, we should not focus on the importance of nice clothes in our lives. You might also remember the story of Achan in the Old Testament. He was a man who the scripture says, quote, kept a godly Babylonian garment for himself. It was after a war, after a battle, and Israel had been told not to keep any plunder for themselves, but Achan did not obey this word. He kept clothing for himself. And because of his greed for elaborate clothing, the Bible says Achan lost his life. Two biblical examples of what happens with the excessive desire for nice clothing. Jesus says, he's teaching here, we should not be worried about our clothing. We should not spend large amounts of time and effort on what we're wearing. Jesus says clothing is not something that is permanent. It's not something to set our hearts on, because clothing can always lose its beauty or value. As soon as you begin to treasure it, moths may get in, and the beauty of the garment, the beauty of the clothing can be destroyed. There is no permanence to it, Jesus says. It's not something that we should spend a lot of time focusing on. Now, is Jesus saying we should not go clothes shopping? I wish he was saying that. I wish that was what his message was. As a kid, I hated clothes shopping. I would have loved to have had this message to say, no, Mom, Jesus says we shouldn't spend time shopping for clothes. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying we should not excessively spend time, money, effort, and energy on something that is not permanent and does not ultimately have value. That's the first mental picture. The clothes that a person wears. The second mental picture Jesus gives us is, he says we should avoid things which, in our version this morning, vermin can destroy. Probably the way you're more familiar with that verse is rust can destroy. Now, the Greek word that is used here for rust or vermin is the word brosis. And brosis literally means eating away at. That's often why rust is used in this mental image. We know what rust does to metal. It eats away at it. It corrodes it. It destroys it. This is the only place in the New Testament where this word brosis is used in some translations as rust. It literally means something that is eaten away at. But probably the better picture is what the verbiage in our text for this morning is, and that is vermin. In Jesus' day, a person's real wealth was in clothing, but it was also in the amount of corn, the amount of grain, the amount of goods for food that a person had stored away in his or her barns. We remember the story in Luke's gospel of the man who had such good crops that he wanted to build bigger barns to store all of his wealth, and yet ultimately ended up losing his life. The message in that parable is similar to what Jesus is teaching here. See, the problem is if we put all of our focus on corn and grains and even these material goods, things come in and eat away at them. Worms, mice, rats, they come in, and not only do they eat away at that which we have stored up, but they pollute, they destroy that which we were so focused on that provides our wealth and prosperity. Jesus is teaching there is no permanence to these things. They will not last. And these things are good. Corn and grain and material possessions that will feed our bodies, they're good things. But Jesus says they are not ultimately to be our focus. Why? Because something will come and eat away at it. Something will come, rust or worms or mice or rats, something will come and eat away at that which we have worked so hard to achieve and to hold on to. The material things of life will always be eaten away at, Jesus says. We should not spend so much time and effort and energy on these things. The third mental picture Jesus gives us, he talks about thieves breaking in to steal. The word Jesus uses for breaking in here is the Greek word diorusine. And that word literally pictures something that is being dug away at. Now, in Jesus' day, most people had homes in which the walls were nothing more than baked clay. In other words, if you wanted to break into someone's home and steal something, you didn't have to pick a lock. You could just use a tool or an instrument or even your hands and dig away at the walls of the homes. In other words, people would break into someone's home literally digging through the wall to take what that person had stored away. So Jesus is saying here that a person's treasure can literally be stolen away by thieves who dig through the walls to take your highly valued possessions. Once again, Jesus is teaching there's no sense of permanence to those things you have, even in your home, that you have stored away that you highly valued, because even then, someone can break in and steal them. So, with our clothing, moths can come and take away their beauty and their usefulness. With our food, things can come to eat away at and pollute and destroy those things that we hold valuable. With our possessions in our homes, thieves can break in and they can steal these things. Jesus wants to say, he wants to warn us against the pleasures of life, which will eventually wear out. To warn us against the pleasures of life that will be corrupted and polluted. To warn us against the pleasures of life that we so highly value that can be taken away from us at a moment's notice. So what Jesus says is teaching us is this: anyone whose satisfaction in life is dependent upon all of these kinds of material things is ultimately doomed to disappointment. A person whose treasure are in things is bound to lose his or her treasure, for in things there is no permanence. They are not things that will last. Jesus is directly addressing his culture. These are things he knew that the people listening to him that day as he gave the Sermon on the Mount, they highly valued. These were things that were valued in his culture. And he says, these are not the things you should be focused on. So if not, what should we treasure? Fortunately, Jesus tells us. Jesus not only tells us what we should not treasure, but then he goes on to say, instead of all of these temporary kinds of things, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. If we want to talk about what Jesus says we should value, if we want to measure something, the value then should be compared to treasures in heaven. Now, the Jewish people of Jesus' day, they were very familiar with this phrase, treasures in heaven. They identified with the treasures in heaven And they identified those treasures as two different kinds of things. The first thing was deeds of kindness. One type of treasure in heaven was a deed of kindness that a person of faith might do for someone else. There was a famous story in the day of Jesus about a certain king. He was King Monabaz of Adabean. And King Monabaz converted to Judaism. And when he converted to Judaism, there was a famine going on in the land. But when this King Monabaz converted, he took all of his wealth and he gave it away. He gave it away to all the people around him. Now, following that act, his family came and scolded him for giving away all that the family had accumulated. And here was his response to his family. King Monabaz says, "My father's gathered treasure from below, but I have gathered treasure from above. My father stored treasure in a place where people can rule, but I have stored treasures in a place where no person can rule. My fathers," he said, "collected treasure which bear no interest, but I have gathered treasure which does bear interest. My fathers gathered treasures of money, but I have gathered treasures in souls. My fathers gathered treasures in this world, but I have gathered treasures for the world to come." Treasures in heaven. The Jewish people of Jesus' day recognized, including Jesus' disciples, that treasures in heaven included acts of kindness that one does for someone else. But the second way that people in Jesus' day thought about treasures in heaven was a person's character. Who a person is. Not only what he or she does, but who a person is. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, "There are no pockets in a shroud." In other words, when you die, you're not taking anything with you. The only thing that a person takes with him or her from this world is their character and faith. When Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was asked if he would live in a pagan heathen city if he were paid a very well salary for ministering there, Rabbi Kisma replied, "Absolutely not. For in the hour of a person's departure from this world, neither silver nor gold nor precious stone will accompany him or her, but only his faith." The people of Jesus' day believed that treasures in heaven referred to deeds of kindness done to one another and a person's character. See, maybe these are the specific things Jesus was talking about when he refers to treasures in heaven. Or maybe he was speaking more generally, just about living the life of faith. I read this week about a person who was playing devil's advocate with this portion of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And he writes and he says, "If we really want to waste our lives instead of value our lives, let me offer some ways that we can waste our lives." He lists five things. First, worry a lot. Start worrying early in the morning and intensify your anxiety as the day goes. That's a good way to waste your life. Second, make hard and fast predictions in your life. Third, focus your attention on getting wealthy. Spend all of your time every day focused on money. It's the perfect way, he says, to waste your life. Or fourth, care or compare ourselves to other people. If we really want to waste our lives, then just compare yourself with those around you. You will either live a life full of pride or full of envy. Or fifth, he says, lengthen your list of enemies. If there's one thing above all others that will keep our wheels spinning, keeping us from getting anywhere in life, it is perfecting our skills at the blame game. Don't accept responsibility. Just focus all of your attention on your list of enemies. He says, put these five suggestions into motion and you will set new records for wasting the valuable life God has given to you. Jesus says something different. If you're going to value something in this life, then value and treasure the things that are of God. That will prevent you from wasting your time. It will keep you from unnecessary worry. It will allow you to strengthen your relationship with God. This, Jesus says, is how you are to have treasure in heaven. As one person has stated, our goal then is not to find more time, but to use our time more wisely. The same is true for our values. It's not that we need to value more things. We simply need to value the right things. We simply need to value the things that Jesus says are truly important in this life. For Jesus says to his followers, never forget. Don't ever forget. Don't let it ever slip out of your mind that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful for a challenging and yet important message. Lord, we constantly receive messages from our world about the things that we should value. But we know, Lord, that you have provided a better way, a better path. So lead us and guide us and give us faith and courage to value the things that you say are most important. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response today is number 602. It is, Teach Me, O Lord, I Pray. This is an opportunity for you to respond to God's leadership in your life. Whatever decision God has laid upon your heart, we invite you at this time, come share with us what God is doing in your life as we stand together to sing hymn 601.